Okay, how's everyone going? Doing good? Really excited to be here as well? Yeah, that's good. If I could have that PowerPoint up, please, Jenny. Cool. So today we're going to be looking at the whole idea of living obediently, but more specifically what that looks like in today's world. So in this letter, Peter is writing to Jews who have been dispersed, the scattered people, and they know exactly what it's like to be persecuted, to suffer, to be slandered, to go through all sorts of different things. But he's encouraging them to keep going despite the tough times that keep coming their way. What about persevering, no matter what happens, and clinging on to the hope of eternal life? Peter encourages them to embrace their call to suffer in this world. So the purpose of today's sermon is not to get you to understand that the Christian life is one of comfort and ease, but one of hardship, and one that is entirely worth it. So let's get into it. The attitude of Christ. So then, since Christ has suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had. Or some other translations say, rather than the attitude, that the mind of Christ. So we must arm ourselves with the mind of Christ. Persecution and suffering was the predestined pathway for God's Son. He came to earth full well knowing that suffering was inevitable, that it had to happen. He knew that his purpose was to die. Jesus endured his martyrdom on behalf of his people, on behalf of all of you here, and all his people that declare him as Lord and Saviour. The cross of Jesus Christ is the ultimate proof that suffering can lead to victory over the forces of evil. See, so often in Christian circles, we don't really talk a lot about suffering, or we think it's a bad thing when we start suffering. But the cross is the ultimate proof that suffering is a good thing in a lot of ways. Without suffering, we don't have the peace that we now have from Jesus. We don't have eternal life without suffering. We don't have the new life, the hope, the joy, all the good things that we have now without Jesus suffering. The reason Jesus was okay with going to the cross was because he knew what it was accomplishing. Not only was he dying and suffering on behalf of us, but he was defeating the powers of death, sin, and Satan once and for all who come to him. But here's the thing. Suffering is also one of the ways in which we are purified as Christians. Once you declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's not going to be an easy road. But it is one of the ways that we are purified, that we're made more like Jesus. So we need to learn to be okay with suffering and embrace it in a lot of ways. You see, we are soldiers in a spiritual battle. We are not called to kick back, relax, take in the scenery and wait for our guide to bring us home. That's not what we've been called to do. We need to seek the mind of Christ because that will give us strength to get us through, to overcome sin. The attitude of Christ, honed through suffering, provides armor and weapons by which believers can defeat sin, by which we become stronger. And I guess today I don't want us to become psychopaths and go looking for suffering. That's not what I want out of today's sermon. But I want you to embrace it when it comes your way. I'm not expecting you to shout for joy and be like, yeah, bring it on. But I am expecting you to, when it comes, just look to Jesus, rely on him, and look for what he's trying to do. And I am expecting you to live lives that are worthy of suffering for. See, I think so often as Christians, we're not even living lives that we'll ever suffer for, because we're not really living as the Bible has told us to. I think we just think, oh, well, you know, my call in my life hasn't really been one that requires suffering. And yet I look in the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, but also the Old Testament, all the disciples, Paul, Peter, every time you flip a page, I feel like every second or third time they spoke, they were ridiculed, persecuted, put in jail, threatened with stones. And yet, here we are, and we might be a little bit scared to go tell someone about Jesus because they might not like us anymore. You see, in the West, it is difficult for Christians to understand and embrace God's intentions and suffering. We don't have an awful lot of suffering going in our lives, and I believe that's twofold. Firstly, we live in a culture that isn't super harsh on Christianity. We're sort of in a very tolerant place at the moment. But two, I believe it's also because we're not living as the Bible tells us. Often the suffering would occur in the Bible, as I said. They just would get up, they'd preach the gospel, and some people would love it. Some people would gather around them and would celebrate with them. But then the next town would start throwing stones at them, throw them out of the town. They'd have the town leaders come to them, if you don't get out, we're going to kill you. You see, in Eastern cultures, they die for their faith, and they can die for their faith at every turn. And yet that doesn't stop them from spreading the gospel. And yet in our culture, we might lose friends, we might get yelled at, but very, very minimal chance of ever dying for our faith. And yet we hardly share it. And yet you'd think it'd be the other way around. You'd think that where you're going to die for your faith is where you wouldn't share the gospel. And you'd think that where it's easy to share your faith, that's where the gospel would be rampant. But it's the opposite. The opposite is true, but it shouldn't be that way. Hats off to the Eastern cultures for doing what they do, but I think that's an indictment against us as a Western culture. And I think this phrase here, taking up your cross, meant confessing Jesus as Lord, even if it meant physically dying for his sake. I think we've taken this phrase, I wouldn't say out of context, but we've sort of minimized it, particularly in the West. I think sometimes we think that getting up earlier than usual to read our Bible and pray and give up time throughout the week to go to a ministry is suffering. But believe it or not, that's the privileges of being a Christian. That's the good parts. Suffering would be telling others about Jesus, knowing that you may get fired, not stupidly, not going around just screaming Jesus and then you get fired, but doing it in a sensible way, but telling them knowing that you could get fired. Telling them knowing that you might get ridiculed. Telling them knowing that they might unfriend you on Facebook. I don't know. Suffering would be being marginalized for your beliefs by close friends because you keep telling them about Jesus because you love them too much to see them go to hell. And ultimately, suffering accomplishes God's purposes for us. And Jesus understood this better than anyone else. But suffering increases spiritual strength, it humbles us, and drives us to prayer in his word. Peter is not saying to seek suffering, but that when it comes, you need to be ready. And if we live as the Bible tells us to, I believe suffering is inevitable. I don't think it's a maybe. I think it will come. But know that it's okay. Know that it's accomplishing God's purposes for your life. Secondly, we seem to have this tension in the next couple verses between doing the will of God and living for human desire and your human passions. Peter says, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you'll be anxious to do the will of God. You see, you're no longer going to chase after your human passions, but you'll run after holiness. You're going to arm yourselves with a commitment to do the will of God and abandon your former sins. Your lifelong process, once you declare Jesus as your Lord and Savior, begins. Your lifelong process of transformation. So here's the beauty of the Christian life. Your sinful past is done. It's a closed book. The end. You now have a new life in Jesus. We have died to old and been given new life through Jesus. Sin is no longer our master, but we are now slaves to righteousness, to Jesus. And in a sense, all believers have in their lives a BC and an AD, a before Christ and I guess after Jesus. I know that's not AD, but you get what I mean. But a lot of us just stay back in our old sinful state. And I'm not saying you're not saved here today, but I believe you could be so much more effective for the kingdom of God. If you're saying you've declared Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you keep going back to your old former sins and you just live in them habitually, you're not being all that God's called you to be. You need to get yourself right with Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfectionism here. I'm not saying you're going to live the perfect life. I'm not. As Christians, we're going to struggle until Jesus comes back with sin, until we're delivered from its presence once and for all. Peter isn't saying that we're no longer going to sin when he says that we are finished with it in verse 1, but he's saying that as a believer who identifies with Christ through suffering for him, you're demonstrating that you're done with sin. That you no longer want to live that way. That life of sin isn't for you, but Jesus is for you. And I'm willing to suffer for Jesus because sin, although was easier in a lot of ways, I love Jesus too much to keep going down that track. And I'll suffer for him. I'll do whatever it takes. We suffer because we've made a conscious choice against sin and this world. And we no longer serve the pleasures of this world, but Jesus Christ. And the reason why I add that bit at the end is because I believe a lot of us say, yeah, I made that decision one day. I remember I said, yep, Jesus, you're my Lord. I made that conscious decision against sin, Satan, and this world. But then you go back and you keep living and living and living in sin. You keep hurting God time and time again. But I believe that conscious choice is followed by your actions. Hence why I said it's serving God. Sometimes you will slip up. But again, it's about the fact that Jesus is now your master. So you should most of the time obey Jesus. You're going to fall back. You're going to slip up. But it's not going to be, if sin was your master, you'd sin a lot. And maybe occasionally you'd do a good thing. But even then, it wouldn't be good enough in Jesus' eyes because it's not done through Jesus. If Jesus is your master, you're consistently growing to be more like Jesus. You see, it's easy for Christians to become accustomed to sin. So we need to preach the gospel to ourselves daily. We need to be in a church, in a community that will remind us of the gospel daily. Because you see, all sin is disobedience to God's will. So we must not give in to the temptation of the world. If we really understand the gospel, if we really believe that Jesus did what he did, that he died for sin for us, then how can we keep going in sin? Jesus had to suffer for your sin. He had to die for your sin. He had to take God's wrath for your sin. And yet we sin. We just keep going back to sin. How can we habitually keep sinning when that was the one thing that Jesus had to die for? How can you say that you love Jesus and then just live in sin all the time? If you love someone, you don't want to hurt them. And the most hurtful thing you can do is sin. You see, part of the normal Christian experience is being ridiculed for not participating in the pleasure-focused lifestyle of this world. If you never suffer as a Christian in this world, perhaps it's because you've chosen the will of man, along with its sensualities and its pleasures and all that it has to offer. Peter says that when you no longer participate in the sinful things you used to, you'll be slandered, you'll be mocked, you'll be ridiculed. That's to be expected because you're now living to please God, which is the opposite of everything the world stands for. Persecution and suffering should be part of the normal Christian experience if we live as the Bible tells us. But I wonder if we've become so connected with the world that we don't even know what I'm talking about here today. Did I say this whole idea of suffering for Jesus is normal? And you're like, what are you talking about, Harrison? I've never suffered for my faith. Do you want to stand out as an ambassador for the kingdom of light in the midst of an empire of darkness? And if you do, if you want to be all that God has called you to be, then suffering is going to happen. Many will persecute you, but a few people will see your noble character in your changed life and inquire about your King, your Lord, your Saviour. And for them, for that person, and for the sake of Jesus, it's all worthwhile. Let me tell you a little story about a man named Billy Graham. A well-known professional golfer was playing in a tournament with the president at the time and fellow pro Jack Nicklaus and Billy Graham. After the round was over, one of the pros asked, "Hey, how was it playing golf with the president and Billy Graham?" The pro said with disgust, "I don't need Billy Graham stuffing religion down my throat." His friend followed this man and watched as he pounded his fury out on a bucket of golf balls. After a while, the friend asked, "Was Billy a little rough on you out there?" The pro sighed and said with embarrassment, "No, he didn't even mention religion." The evangelist was obviously known for being a Christian, but I believe he also reflected such Christ-likeness that his presence brought a similar feeling to that when Isaiah was in God's presence. I'm not saying Billy Graham was God, by the way. But he knew he was a lost man. He knew he was a man of unclean lips. And he knew he was living among a people of unclean lips. Suffering and ridicule just comes with the territory of being a Christian. Billy Graham didn't even say anything about Jesus. And yet, he was despised by this non-religious pro golfer. Last point. Judgment is coming. But remember that they will have to face God, who stands ready to judge everyone, both the living and the dead. There will come a time when Jesus comes back and everyone will be judged and justice will be dished out. There will come a day of moral reckoning when all those who don't know Jesus, who didn't obey his will, who live for their own pleasures, will be judged and will face eternal suffering. And not the kind of good suffering I'm talking about today, but eternity in hell. But as Christians, the world in which we dwell isn't our true home. This is the hope that we have. Jesus said to his disciples, "The world will love you as one of its own if you belong to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world. The world now hates you." And yeah, I wonder how many of us could say that about those around us, that we live in such a way where we don't really fit in. We try to for the sake of witnessing to them maybe, but we don't really fit in. They talk about these things that we just don't agree with. But do we really speak up for it? Do we really speak up for righteousness, for Jesus and for the gospel? Or do we just join in with the fun because that's easier, because then I wouldn't have to suffer? This world that we live in is only our temporary home, and don't lose sight of that. This is only temporary. We have the hope of eternal life to cling on to, so we shouldn't be scared by the idea of Jesus coming back. Perhaps scared for the people that we know that don't know Jesus, but not scared for our own sake. Jesus said to his followers, "Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life." You will never be condemned for your sins. You have been granted eternal life. And when judgment comes, if you have listened and obeyed to God's will, heaven will be yours. Living with Jesus forever will be yours. We shall live on in spirit forever because of Jesus Christ. And know that God cares for all those who have entrusted themselves to him. In the end, condemnation will come to those who didn't obey God's will. And if we give in to the world around us, we'll be wasting the rest of our lives, and one day we will regret that we gave in to the world around us when we stand before Jesus. You see, all of us were destined to face death and judgment, but Jesus came and made a way. And if you surrender your life to him, there is no condemnation. And the other thing to take out of this point is that you don't need to distribute the justice that you believe is due to those who've persecuted you, who've ridiculed you, who've mocked you, who've marginalized you. God will do that one day. Your job is to love God and to love others by sharing the gospel with them. That is your duty. Though suffering and ridicule may last your whole life, it is only temporary. It may feel like forever, but it's not. You may be judged and maligned, but fear not, for this life is only finite. You only have, you know, in a really good life, 100 years. You have 100 years of maybe suffering. I doubt you're even suffering for all that time. The glory that is to come for those who live with Jesus as Lord and Savior is forever. That is infinite. This life is only finite, but life with Jesus is forever. And also life in hell is forever. Earth is not our final destination, but eternity with Jesus is. And no pressure from the enemies around you or Satan, nothing around you can steal that victory away from you. If you just keep looking to Jesus, you just keep focusing on him, no one can take that away from you. We must fear God. God's going to be the judge. Don't fear those around you. They're going to die like you will in a grave. Jesus died in a grave and he rose again. Don't become consumed with the temporary. Don't allow the things of this world to take away from the glory that is in store. If you fear humankind more than you fear God, there will come a day when you'll realize just how wrong you were to fear man instead of God. Jesus will return one day and he will set things straight. So in summary, if you were to have the attitude of Christ, what a difference that would make in the way you live day by day. If you could just see the purpose of suffering in the Christian life and the inevitability of it, I believe as Christians we'd be far more bold and we would really see change in this community. I know I used soccer last time, but soccer has so many opportunities, so many. But I believe we've also wasted just as many because we're scared of suffering as a church. We don't want to put people off. We want to be well-liked. But we need to be taking all of those opportunities. And I'm sure there's many other ministries, but soccer is the perfect example of where there are so many non-saved people, so many unbelievers out there. And we just watch them walk by, and we may never see them again, and essentially we just watch them walk straight into hell and did nothing to stop it because we were scared of a little suffering, which doesn't even matter in the end. Examine your lifestyle by looking to the attitude of Christ and his sufferings. Always look to Jesus. If you don't know what to do or what's going on in your life or what you should do next, just look to Jesus. Look to what he did. Pray to him. See what he has to say. Everyone who suffers for the sake of Jesus has resolved to turn away from their life of sinfulness. Not that you will no longer sin, but that you've resolved to turn away from it, that you're done with it, that you don't want anything to do with it anymore, but you want everything to do with Jesus. The will of God should dictate our lives as Christians. In the West, we've come to expect comfort, Jesus, but ease and acceptance from the world. A life with little interruption, but I don't believe that's what Jesus teaches. I remember when Jesus told those three men to come and follow him, and the first one sort of wanted comfort. He said, I don't even have anywhere to sleep, mate. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Then you look at Paul. Time and time again, he was in prison, being threatened to be killed. Look at Peter, same thing. Peter was thrown in prison multiple times. Now, they didn't necessarily do anything wrong. They just shared the gospel, perhaps when they shouldn't have. But how can they keep such a beautiful message to themselves? We are to be known for doing good and doing things differently from the rest of the world. The basic point that Peter is making here with the will of God is that we have a choice to make between living for Jesus, and you're all in or you're all out, between living for Jesus, doing the will of God, or letting the pressures of this world and the pleasures of this world dictate what you do. One day everyone will give an account for their words and deeds, and Jesus will return to set everything right. This is a comfort to those who know Jesus, but a scary thought for those who don't. One day the suffering will end for Christians, the world will be made new, and everything will be perfect. But for those who aren't Christians, I'm afraid the opposite is true for you. The world will be the opposite of perfect for you. There will be continuous suffering, and life will literally be hell. For those of you who know Jesus, don't let others perish due to your lack of boldness, due to you being scared. Always be ready to be a witness to those around you, both through your actions and through the sharing of the gospel with them. I want to close with a story by a philosopher named Søren Kierkegaard. That's what we're going with. So, once there was a wild duck flying northward with his mates across Europe during the springtime. And it was hard work and he got really tired and he needed a rest. So he landed in a barnyard in Denmark where he quickly made friends with the tame ducks that lived there. He decided to stay there for an hour, then a day, then for a week, and then a month. And at the end of that time, he contemplated flying to join his friends in the vast Northland. But he had begun to enjoy the safety of the barnyard, and the tame ducks made him feel so welcome that he stayed for the summer. One autumn day when his mates were flying south, he heard their quacking, and it stirred him. He missed them. He wanted to be with them. So he flapped his wings, and he flew as hard as he could, but he could only go as high as the barn. As he waddled back, he muttered to himself, I'm satisfied here. I have plenty of food, and the area is pretty nice. Why should I leave? So he spent the winter on the farm. Spring came around and the same thing occurred. But this time he only felt the stirring within himself. But this time he didn't even attempt to fly. When they returned again a couple months later and they were quacking, trying to get him to come join them. But this time he didn't even notice them. He didn't even hear them. There was no stirring, no flying. He He simply kept on eating corn, which made him fat. Don't become fat on all the world has to offer. You've already feasted long enough on your sinful life before you knew Jesus. We still have a journey to make, a flight path to take, and yes, it will be hard. You will grow weary and people will attack you. But you have to keep going. We have to keep listening to God's voice. We've been called to live according to God's will, to live obediently and to live like Jesus. And when Jesus comes, if you're in that barn rather than up in the sky, you're going to wish that you'd persevered. If you're in the sky, you're going to know that all the suffering, all those weary days, all those hot days where it was hard to keep flying, you're going to know that they were all worth it. Because now you will spend eternity with Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you that you sent your son Jesus to die for us so that we could have a way to be in a relationship with you, Lord. But I pray that we don't take that for granted, that we don't think that just because Jesus suffered that we don't have to. That is the opposite of what Jesus taught to us. May we not become complacent. May we not sit around and just wait for you to come back so that we can go be with you. That's not what we've been called to do. That's not what the Christian life is all about. So I pray that you'll be stirring in us today, that we'll go out this week and for the rest of our lives and live obediently and live according to your will for our lives. May you be convicting us today, Lord, and stirring in our hearts. Lord, just be with us this week. If any chances come our way to witness to people, don't let us shy away from it. Push us forward. May the Holy Spirit just be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.